Well, good evening. Welcome to the Sunday night service here at Volusia County Baptist Church. Let's take our hymn books as we stand. Turn to hymn number 746. He Keeps Me Singing. Hymn number 746.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus was sweet and low.
Does he keep you singing? Are you singing? Is there a melody in your heart? Is there a melody on your lips? You say, well, it doesn't sound very good. It sounds great to him.
Amen.
He loves to hear it. Even if the people in the office next to you don't really enjoy hearing it quite as much. My kids don't like it when when he keeps me singing sometimes, but I just say, you're going to have to lump it. It's Sunday evening at the home place. One of my favorite times of the week. I want to get started with a word of prayer. Brother Mio Novakovic, I should have given you a heads up. I didn't. If you will, make your way up here and open us up in a word of prayer. Invite the Lord just to come right in. He's promised he'd be here with us, but we want to go ahead and tell him how much we are glad that he will be with us. So open your hearts to him tonight. Be ready to sing. Be ready to fellowship. Be ready to listen. You never know who you might encourage tonight.
Yes.
Brother Mio.
Sure. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this time together. We come before you humbly, Lord, only the way we know how. And we lift up our needs to you, our requests, our burdens, our cares. Lord, so many things that are going on in all of our lives. Lord, we pray for everyone that's represented here, all the families here. Lord, speak to our hearts. Refresh us tonight, Lord, I pray. Be with those that are not able to be here, perhaps watching via the internet. Lord, help them, be with them, give them a good evening here with all of us, Lord. Again, be with the pastor, help him, Lord, as he preached to us, speak to our hearts, help us as we sing, as we pray together. Lord, help us to honor you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
don't hold back on Sunday night. And I'm going to tell you that. That's good, choir. Thank you. Do we have any guests with us tonight? I'm looking around to see. May have some folks that this is your first time here at the home place. We don't want to miss you. As a matter of fact, if this is your first time at the home place, I'm looking around. The lights are in my eyes. I might not realize that you're a guest. I'd like to know about that. Would you just slip your hand up? I'd love to see you, recognize. If you shy a little bit, I tell you what, if you're just a little shy and you don't want to do that, maybe during the shake hands time, grab one of these guys as you walk by and tell them you're a guest, because we want to make sure we get a card in your hand that lets us know you were here. We might miss you. We don't want to miss you. But I'm looking around. Anybody that would be introduced, I don't want to miss anybody at all. We got a lot of things to get to as far as announcements goes. And these are in your bulletin. I'm going to skip some that are there, highlight some that aren't. First thing I want to do, I failed to do this morning, and I apologize to them for missing it. But I wanted to share this with you. BCBC family, thank you so much for the flowers and the prayers as we went through the loss of our baby girl. The support that so many people gave truly means a lot to us. Thank you again, Jacob and Chrissy Buck. I definitely wanted to make sure I mentioned that. I know many of you were thinking about them, calling them, you were in touch and praying for them, and they really do appreciate that. Missions Conference starts next week. That starts off next Sunday. Be in your place. Be ready to go. Be in the mindset. Be thinking about it. Man, read over some missionary passages. Get into the book of Acts. Read Matthew 28. Man, be preparing your heart for next week and what God might do. You just never know. Along with that, we need some things next week. One of those, we need some nursery workers. Our increased service schedule means we have an increased need. So there's an increased opportunity for you to be involved. So ladies, if you would, let Miss Kim Barker know that you can maybe work one of those services, because we do need that. That way it's not two or three people that are just having to do the whole time and miss the whole mission conference. And I know that you're able to. Many of you are. And if you are, just go ahead and tell Miss Kim. Let her know tonight, if you will, or sometime this week, so she can have that schedule planned out and ready to go. Sweetheart Retreat. I made these brochures up, got them into the Sunday school classes, got them out this morning for the service. There were a few questions that came in. One of them is it really only $100? It's really only $100. That's because the church is going to take on some of the load, the burden there. Our home place Sunday school class is going to take on some of that as well. And it does include all your meals. We'll kick off on Friday afternoon, 7 o'clock. We'll have food right there at the conference center. We'll be off and running. Brother Fred Daniel, who had service at 2 o'clock today, not because he's just different, but because they got snowed in. They actually got snowed in North Carolina. Saw some updates from him today, but they're doing well. And that's going to be the highlight. That's going to be the highlight, what God does through His Word in your heart. But man, you're going to have a great time with your spouse. So make sure, get signed up, get the registration that's attached to that form, get it turned in. The rest of it has the things to bring, sort of a little bit of a schedule of events that you're going to want to have along with that. King's Brass this Thursday. Be here early. Unless you want a bad seat, unless you want to be looking at the back of somebody's head, you want to be here a little bit early, get close to the front, be ready for a great night. You will enjoy it. That's this Thursday night, 7 o'clock, our normal service time. Brother Jim Lyle told me a little while ago his foot is not broken. That's good news. And now if we can keep him off of it long enough to let him heal it up, he'll be back in action, I'm sure, as soon as he possibly can be. But the activity for tomorrow is put on hold. We'll reschedule that because of his situation and because it's just cold. And that's an outdoor mall, and it's going to be a little more comfortable if we go when it's warmer. And in Florida, you can just put it off a day or two or whatever. We'll let you know when that is. So we'll get that rescheduled, and you'll know that as soon as possible. Tuesday, we'll have the services for Brother Tom Pouch right here at the service. Or I'm sorry, right here at the church, we'll have those services. 10 to 12 will be the viewing time, and then at 1 p.m., the service for him. And I know many of you will want to be here for that. You want to have your plans made, and that will be. That'll be a good time for the family. They've had time to prepare to get in, Miss Fran, all the kids. And so if you can just come for the viewing or come for the service, whichever one or both, I know it would mean a lot to the family. But be praying for them in this time. And we appreciate that. I know they do as well. I think I'm missing a couple of things here. I did want to mention, I'm looking. Oh, I wanted to remind you, pray for Miss Barbara Schultz. She has been dealing with a bad time for a while now. Thought she had a little bit of an answer, but it seems like it's just not helping. Spoke with her just a little while ago, and she's just down and frustrated about it. And I can understand. It's really got her bugged. And so if you will, pray for her. I know there's many others to be prayed for. I thought I saw Brother Dale Trescott right back there. Man, good to see you again. I know there's going to be a little time for y'all afterwards, 60th wedding anniversary. And so congratulations on that. I know we've mentioned that before. I believe that's all. Make sure you've got your bulletins. There's other things coming up. Ladies Bible study starting 2 weeks from tomorrow night. So many things. Make sure you're aware of it. Tuesday night, I don't want to miss this. I'm sorry, Pastor, but Tuesday night, we're back in action. We're visiting. And Tuesday night, first time we have this available, we'll have childcare available.
Amen.
Childcare available on Tuesday night. And so if you're, man, we can't go because the kids, it just makes it difficult. We've got you taken care of. So love to have the couples that want to go out. I know Jenny and I are looking forward to being able to go out together and visit. I know Brother Pastor Tim, Miss Kayla, they're going to be able to do the same. And if you need to take advantage of that, we have that available. 6:30 on Tuesday night. Let's get those journey visits followed up on. Thank you.
All right. I think it says 6 o'clock, but it's 6:30. We'll actually go out. If you want to be here a few minutes before that, that'll be marvelous. Get your children taken care of and getting teamed up and all that kind of thing. Well, our congratulations do go out to the Trescott, 60 wonderful, glorious years. And they've invited everyone after church tonight. Yes, amen. They've invited the church to come and to celebrate with them after the service in the activity building. So if you're in Voices of Victory auditions, you'll just have to pray that there's some left over. Amen. And we won't keep you the whole time, but we'll be doing that in the other end of the activity building. And so congratulations to them. The weeknight services for Mission Conference will be at 7 o'clock. Weeknight services, Monday through Thursday nights, 7 o'clock. So do plan on being here. That's next week, not this coming week. And then along the idea of the babysitters, we right now that I know of that we have 4 young families that are involved in choir or would want to be involved in choir who have children that need babysitters during choir practice. And so we'd like to have everyone that's available and willing to sing. We'd love to have them the opportunity to do that. Some of you ladies would say, you know, I cannot sing, or I used to sing, or I can't climb those stairs, or whatever the case may be. And, but you'd be willing to be one of the ladies in during choir practice to watch the children, be babysitting. And if you would, please let me know or grab Kim Barker and let her know. We'd like to start that this coming Sunday at 4:30. And so really, ladies, this is a severe need. I don't mind having the children in the choir practice. I think it kind of prepares them. But, you know, moms and dads feel kind of funny about that. They're trying to get them to behave and all that kind of thing when they need to be practicing on their music. And so if you would help us with that, that'd be a great blessing. Do we have any ladies who might be interested in helping during choir practice? You're not signing in blood, but would you consider that during choir practice? Anybody? Anybody? I'm looking one. Wow. Bless your heart, Barbara. She's our babysitter that's been here for 20 years. 20 years. Any other? Okay, great. Amen. Do we have one more? One more? As an alternate type of thing? Okay, you pray about it. I'll pray for you. Amen. All right. And we will count you in choir. We will count you in choir as part of the choir ministry. So you might be singing with the children, so to speak. And that would be a wonderful thing. So thank you so much. Well, a great song for us to sing. Brother Dave, come lead us. Until Then. I love this song. I want to hear you sing it. Page 780.
Let's stand again as we turn to hymn number 780, Until Then.
My heart can't see when I pause to remember. Along a trail, as winding on.
that third verse.
This weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife.
Let the choir come then. We'll come back and sing that chorus again. That'd be marvelous. Fellowship one with another. Greet God's family here tonight. God bless you. Good to see you here.
So well tonight. Orchestra, what a blessing to sing with an orchestra. As a choir and all that, congregational singing. I like a good piano. I like to add in organ and keyboard and all that. But when you have live orchestra instruments, harp going, we missed you this morning. Good to have you back on the harp. Wonderful. Ushers, come on down, please, receive the offering tonight. Good to have Hope's parents here with us, Jack and Charlene Burnside. Greatest in-laws a person could ever have. Amen. Good to see you. Good to have you all here. Amen. Did I score any points with that? I'm truthful. Should be. I'm in the pulpit, right? Should be. I'm a Christian, right? Amen. Well, it's good to have them here. Good to have you here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon the offering. Brother Dave Weiss, would you lift your voice, please, and ask the Lord's blessing upon the offering. Yes, God. People need the Lord. Beautifully done. Thank you so very much. Well, it's good to have our youngest son, David, back in from college for a few days. And the Lord's using him to do more of the same kind of stuff that he did around here. And he volunteered when he first went out there to college. They said, if you'd like to help in some capacity, some area. And he said, yeah, where do you need me? I'll be glad to. He didn't say what he could do. He just said he just volunteered. But whenever he began doing some things there, they began realizing all the experience that he had here at our church. And then pretty soon they put him in charge of a squad of guys running sound and cameras and things. And then they said, we've got a guy that's graduating and leaving. He's on staff. Who are we going to get? They said, David Sears. He's a freshman. Oh, no. And so they broke the rules and they hired him as a staff. And then they said, we need David full time on staff. They said, no, it's against the rules. We can't do that. Students can't be full time. And they said, you don't understand. We need him. And so they're trying to keep him. So I'm going to go out there pretty soon. I'm going to have a talk with Pastor Chapel. That'll happen, right? Yeah. But, in the course of time, he makes friends out there. And then he made a special friend. And then just a few days ago, he put a ring on her finger. And so David Steers and Bethany Jones are going to sing a song. Listen as they sing, Above All.
Above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. On the ground, you took the fall.
Bethany, thank you so much. Take your Bibles, please, if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 this evening. Good to see you back in God's house tonight. I trust the Lord will give us something. It'll be a help to our hearts. I was talking with a man in the church, and he said, I have a suggestion for you. I do like it when people have suggestions. I need all the help I can get. I need a counsel. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so we get our counsel from godly people. We get our direction from Almighty God. And so that should be the way that we live our life. And counsel brings things to our attention. And so that's a good thing. And then we go to the Lord and we get confirmation of what He wants us to do. This gentleman, he said, you know, I think it'd be a great thing for our church to do a study on really what we believe as Christians. I looked at him. I said, wow, that is so wonderful that you said that, because that's what God has been leading me to do on Sunday nights. And I told him what the Lord has laid on my heart to do on Sunday evenings for the next probably 8-10 weeks. And every Sunday evening that we have available, of course, Missions Conference, we'll skip that, and Founders Conference and things as need be. But the Sunday nights that are available, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about where we stand. And it's a biblical thing that we do this. God forbid that a Christian, when asked, well, what do you believe? Well, I believe what my church believes. Well, okay, what does your church believe? Our church believes what our pastor believes. Okay. Well, what does your pastor believe? Our pastor believes the Bible. Well, that's good. That's wonderful. But we need to have a little more firm footing on where we stand when asked. And here's the proof text for that. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be, what's the word? Ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Please understand, we're not studying to win a debate. We're not studying to win an argument. We're studying so that we can have an answer to give with meekness and fear. We are a nobody. Hey, listen, I'm thankful to be a Christian. I have value because Jesus Christ died for me and shed His precious blood. But in and of myself, I have absolutely no value. I'm thankful to be pastoring Volusia County Baptist Church. That is a title that I honor and I cherish. But as a person, I'm nothing. And were it not for Jesus Christ, neither are you. But by the grace of God, we are what we are. The Apostle Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so with meekness and fear, we serve the thrice holy God. He is sovereign. He's almighty. And we're nothing. He deserves all our praise. But He has brought us into His service. We're a soldier of the King. And so we need to know where we stand in Him. Now, I do think that we should make this something that is very understandable. The Word of God and our stand on His grace and all of that, it should be something that we should not be afraid of. Sometimes we talk about doctrine and we give it in such a way that it's like trying to take a sip from a fire hydrant. I don't know about you, but, you know, out of a fire hydrant, it comes out with such volume and such pressure and all of that that it's hard to get a drink. No, we need it like out of a water fountain, just high enough that we can get a hold of it, and just enough pressure, just enough volume that we can digest it. And so this study is going to be what I believe in 7 words or less. What I believe in 7 words or less. We ought to be able to say in 7 words or less what we believe about the Bible, what we believe about Jesus. And this ought to be taught, and I'm going to try my best to get this to our children and our children's ministries and all that kind of thing. So it's not just our adults. But here's, if you're taking notes, here's the first thought. The first thought, and we'll try to get two of them in tonight, God willing. The first thought is the Bible is God's book. Only 5 words. So what do you believe? Now, I'll give you a little preview. Here they are. The Bible is God's book. Jesus Christ is God's son. Salvation is by God's grace through faith. 7 words. God is revealed in 3 persons. God's Spirit dwells in believers. God created man for fellowship. Sin is disobedience to God. God created angels to serve him. The church gives out the gospel. And number 10, prophecy is God's preview of the future. 7 words. 7 words or less, dealing with the ten probably most essential topics in the Word of God. Can you say that phrase with me? Let me say it again for you. The Bible is God's book. Say it with me, please. The Bible is God's book. Now, the word Bible actually means book. That's Biblos. It means book. And so many times when Pastor Reynolds would announce, turn to John chapter 7 or something like that, he'll say, if you have your book. You remember him saying that? It means Bible. It's a synonym. It's the same thing. It's like saying car, automobile, you know, same thing. And so the word Bible does mean book. So if you're jotting some things down about this thought, the Bible is God's book, you can jot down this little thought that the authority of the Bible is taught by its first. The authority of the Bible is taught by its inspiration. It's taught by its inspiration. Take your Bibles, please, and I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. You're in 1 Peter. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. While you're finding that, a key passage, if you want to jot down this reference, a key passage about the inspiration of the Bible is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, all Scripture, meaning all of it, from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, Old and New Testament, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means God-breathed. What does that mean, God-breathed? It means that God said it. God spoke it. It came from God to those who penned it. Now, we talk about the writers of Scripture. There's writers of Scripture, and there's only one author of Scripture, and that is Almighty God by the power of the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In Sunday school, by the way, if you're not in Sunday school, why not? Why not? You need to be in Sunday school. Every opportunity you have to hear the Word of God taught, to hear the Word of God preached, you need to be there. If you know so much about the Bible that you do not need to be sitting in Sunday school, that simply means you need to be teaching in Sunday school. Amen. Okay? Every person should be in Sunday school. And so you say, it's just so hard to get here at 9 o'clock. Oh, pity, pity, pity. Don't even say that, because you're going to be at a doctor's office Monday at 8 o'clock. You know? So don't start down that excuse road. Be in Sunday school. Here in Auditorium Sunday School, Pastor Aaron was talking about the search the Scriptures and what a marvelous study in Matthew 1 and Matthew 2. And he made a reference to their discussion of the genealogies. And the study of the names. So-and-so begat so-and-so. And so-and-so begat so-and-so. And he said it was interesting how the discussion became so lively in some of the people and some of the names that were given. Why is that? Because all Scripture, including the genealogies, is given by inspiration of God. It's all accurate. And if you want to do a great study, get you a book that defines the names of the people in the Bible. That's an interesting thing. Going to the Hebrew definition of the names. You realize that Brother Burnside, I'm chasing a rabbit here. All right. Do you realize that people in the Bible, it was important to them what they named their children? I think it should be important how you name your children. You ought to pick a name that sets a goal for your children. You ought to pick a name, and it might not always be a Bible name. That's okay. Pick a name that gives character, that gives strength to your children. It gives them a direction for their life. And later on, as they discover the meaning of their name and their namesake and all that kind of thing. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now let's look, please, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 20. The Bible says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, no part of Scripture, someone said, you know, I think I'm going to throw my own little thought in here. There's no rabbit trails that some writer of the Scripture threw in there on their own. They understood that they were penning something the Holy Spirit has led them to say. Listen, please, I'm not speaking by inspiration. I'm reading what's been inspired, but I'm not speaking by inspiration. I'm not speaking infallible words. Every single word that comes out of my mouth is not inspired by God. But let me tell you something. There are times that you might think that I just lost my thoughts, and that happens sometimes. But you might think that sometimes I just lose my thoughts. Sometimes I'll stop in mid-sentence and I'll take a different direction. I'll tell you why that happens. Because a lot of times I'm starting to say something that I think needs to be said, and the Holy Spirit within my heart will say, no, go this direction. Say this. My friend, when someone was penning Scripture, every single word was that way. And God superintended and made sure that His word was perfect. No private interpretation. Verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So here, the Apostle Peter, who walked with Jesus Christ, who failed the Lord, and God gave him the opportunity to re-up and re-enlist, and God's grace is amazing, and how He took someone who was fleeing, and someone who betrayed Him, and all that, and said, I don't even know Him. And yet, when he repented, he came back, and he led the church. And what a marvelous trophy of God's grace. And the Apostle Peter is being used by God to remind us that the prophecies of the Old New Testament, they came not by the will of man, but they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Inspiration, God breathed. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Listen to this. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is more than just the Ten Commandments. That is more than just what God penned Himself into the stone tablets. See, God moved into the heart of men, and God spoke. Listen, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And the Holy Spirit will emphasize to us as the Word of God is read and as we study it. The Holy Spirit will apply it into our life because it's His Word. Jot down this reference, John 17:8. Jesus said, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. The words. Not the concepts, not the principles, not the general thought. Jesus said, I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Please, please hear this. The words are inspired. This is the Word of God as a complete package. But the very words are inspired. A lot of times we'll say, I believe in the verbal, plenary inspiration of the Scriptures. It means that that God inspired the very words. Now, that's why, as a pastor, I caution us. Don't try to water down God's precious word. Don't do that. Please don't do that. There ought to be a standard. There ought to be something that we, if we're going to go to God's word, we need to know that this is the Bible. This is God's holy word. Don't water it down. If you find it difficult to understand it, could it be that there might be something between you and God? Could it be that the Holy Spirit, as you're searching in the darkness, He doesn't turn the light on? Perhaps there's unconfessed sin, maybe. You ever think about that? There have been times I've opened the Word of God and it's very academic to me. I would say, wow, this is different, you know. And the Lord brings something back to my memory, something between me and my wife. Something I said to her that was out of whack. Something that I did that no one, perhaps even no one on earth knew, but God knew. I say, God, what's wrong? He says, well, now that you ask, I'll tell you. I say, wow, I forgot about that. I'm sorry, Lord. But you know, it's because I didn't have a clear understanding and that connection and that light illuminating my understanding on the Word of God. And I sensed something was missing, something was wrong. And a lot of the world, what they do is, oh, I can't understand this Bible. Let me get a new one. Let me get some different one. Let me see what they have to say. Instead of going to the author, saying, God, is there something between me and you? Now, the Apostle Peter, he talked about things that the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, there are some things that are difficult to understand. Some of it's meat. Some of it you need a steak knife. But let me tell you something. If you get a good slab of filet mignon, you might not be able to cut it with a spoon. You might not. But if you get yourself a steak knife and you cut into that thing, and it's good and tender.
Amen. Now it is good preaching. Woo!
It's that kind of steak, and it's the kind of steak prepared in such a way that normally you ask for some A1 sauce, and you try that first bite, and you say, no A1 sauce for this. I don't want to harm that flavor. It is so good. When you get a hold of a piece of God's Word like that, and you spend some time dissecting that and cutting it apart, and you digest that, and you find out how good God really is, and how strong His grace is, it's amazing. Say, wow, thank you, Lord. You spend some time on that. You chew it up, and it's so good, you can't wait to tell someone else about it. I've shared this. My wife hates it when I do. I went to took her to a steakhouse in West Virginia one time. And they had prepared that steak with a certain sauce of some kind. Marinated in it, you know, and it was kind of all around the steak. So I dabbed it down in the plate and ate it. And oh, it was so good. So good. I told her so several times during the dinner. She can't appreciate it because she doesn't like steak. We're on the way home. We get on the interstate. And I tell her again, say, wow, that was really good steak. That was amazing. Never had anything like that. She said, well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. About 15 miles down the road, I said, I can't get over how good that steak was. She said, well, that's great, honey. And she changed the subject. Before we got to the house, I said, that was just the best steak I've ever had. What I didn't know was, I got a little bit of that sauce on my upper lip. And I kept smelling it. Listen, please. When you get a hold of something good from God, you're going to ruminate on that, and you're going to meditate on that. And every person you run across, if you sense that they have any spiritual insight at all, you're going to say, I just got to tell you what God showed me in His Word. The authority of the Bible is taught by its inspiration. Secondly, the authority of the Bible is taught by its accuracy. taught by its accuracy. Now, this Bible that we have is not a science textbook, but please make sure and get this. Every statement about science that it makes is completely 100% accurate. It is 100% accurate. And science has laughed at the Bible. And then when science would catch up with God's Word, science would be embarrassed in how that the Bible was accurate. I mean, we could go on and on. Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. George Washington would have lived a lot longer if they didn't believe in bloodletting. If they didn't believe that they could heal someone by taking bad blood out of them. All they had to look in is God's Word, the life of the flesh is in the blood. How long did mankind believe that the world was flat? The greatest minds that ever lived at that time believed, without exception, that the world was flat. But yet we find the Bible tells us in Job 26:7 that the world, that God hangeth the world upon nothing. It's not on Hercules. It's not on some turtle. It's not on whatever. And Isaiah 4:22, the Bible says, it talks about that the world is, and you can jot down these references, Isaiah 4:22. You can look at it. The Bible describes that the world is a circle of the earth. And the word circle in the Hebrew, if you look at the word circle, when it was translated, we would possibly used the word sphere. Because it's the Hebrew word that indicates a ball. Isaiah 4:22, God said in the language of the day, in the exact words that God used and penned, He said the world is a sphere. It's a ball. And for centuries, man thought it was flat on the shoulders of Hercules, riding on a turtle, or four turtles, or whatever it was that the philosophers believed in that day. Scientifically accurate. The accuracy of the Bible is seen historically. Historically. We could go on and on about this. I'll give you one example. Daniel 5:29. For years and years, hundreds of years, since there was no evidence historically of... remember when Belshazzar and he has this big party and all that, and when God wrote on the wall, "Many, many, Tekel, Upharsin, thou hast been found, thou hast been weighed in the balances and found wanting, and divided thy kingdom amongst the Medes and the Persians," and all of that. No one, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers and all of them, he called them in to find out what it was, because they were scared to death. The Bible says that Belshazzar's knees were knocking together, and let's just say he needed to go to the bathroom. Amen. Okay. He was scared to death. He couldn't find anyone to interpret this. But there was someone that was not at the party. Someone who was way up in the kingdom. His name was Daniel. And he had no part of what was going on, even though he was supposed to be there. He was expected to be there. He was a political official in the government. But he wanted no part of that wickedness and immorality and all that was going on. So they had to call him. They called him into the palace. And when he got there, God revealed to him the interpretation. And Belshazzar had said that if anyone could interpret this, that I will make them the third ruler in the kingdom. They said, wait a minute, we've heard of Nebuchadnezzar. We've heard of Belshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar had died. Who's the third ruler in the kingdom? And they thought, now see, there's a case in point. The Bible is just, it can't be trusted, and it makes that statement clearly and all that kind of thing. And then, in 1853, the archaeologists were digging over there in Iraq, in Babylon. And in 1853, they read this. In the temple that was built by Nabonidus to the god Ur, which read, "May I, Nabonidus, king of Babylon, not sin against thee, and may reverence for thee dwell in the heart of Belshazzar, my firstborn favorite son." This is what they read engraved in the wall. So they were co-regents. And while Nabonidus was, he was fighting wars and things, Belshazzar was manning the store. And so Belshazzar said, okay, we got Nabonidus, we've got me, and if you interpret this, I'll make you the third ruler in the kingdom. Historical accuracy. Over and over, I could bore you to tears with this. Oh, I already am. Scientific accuracy, historical accuracy. The authority of the Bible is taught by inspiration, by accuracy. Prophetical accuracy. Over 300 prophecies specifically in the Old Testament were completely fulfilled by Jesus Christ. The authority of the Scripture, if one of those prophecies did not come true, we need to throw this book out because it's not God's book. But 100% accurate. Now, what are the odds of that? The odds are astronomical. If for the sake of time, let me just move on. The authority of Scripture is taught by its accuracy and by its inspiration, and last, by its preservation. This is as far as we'll go tonight. It's preservation. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The preservation of God's word. The authority of the Scripture is taught even by its preservation. What do you mean, preacher? I mean that men have tried to destroy this book. They've tried to burn God's word. They've tried to outlaw God's word. And not too distant places in this world, they're outlawing God's word. There may come a day that because of the stand of the Bible, that we as a church, if we stand on the truth of God's word, that we as a church will not be allowed to gather together in a public way, that we might have to be in, like they do in China, and in house churches, in basements, singing Amazing Grace softly. Amazing Grace, how sweet. For fear that someone might hear us and break up the service and arrest us and take us to prison. Say, could that happen? Oh, yeah, it could happen. Oh, yeah, it could happen. We have the privilege of, we can go knocking on doors and in freedom and liberty and justice, and we can say, hey, I want to tell you that Jesus is the way of salvation. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. He's the only way to heaven. The Bible is God's precious word, and it's his love letter to you and to me. The preservation. 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The preservation of God's holy word. The Bible is God's book. Now, if you jotted down these things, this is just kind of an overview, a summary. It's the high points. There's a whole lot more that we could give you than this. I encourage you as a Christian to study on this, because this is the foundation. Upon the written word of God and upon the living word of God rests everything else. And the living word of God is Jesus Christ, that he is deity, that he is the Son of God. You knock either one of these pillars out, and everything else that we believe comes tumbling down. And that's why these two premises are attacked by Satan the most. Satan doesn't care if we have prophecy seminars. He really doesn't. In fact, he knows prophecy better than probably Jack Van Impe and Mark Sears and John Reynolds and Aaron Reynolds and everybody all put, just throw all the names you can possibly throw together. He knows prophecy better than all of us. He's not really worried about that. You see, we're not in charge of that anyway. God is. He's not in charge of it. God is. But you know what he'll want to attack? He'll want to bring doubt upon this book. He'll want to bring doubt upon what God said. And he did it in Genesis chapter 3, and he'll do it in 2017. Oh, God doesn't really mean that. It's okay. Go ahead. You can enjoy a little bit of fun in this life. It's all right. It'll be okay. You're going to heaven. It'll be all right. He'll throw doubt upon God's word. He'll throw doubt upon God's son. And my friend, that's those two things. I'll stand firm, toe to toe, nose to nose, to defend God's holy word and to defend against false doctrine in this church. And I'm challenged and I'm entrusted with the responsibility to do so for this church. So the Bible is what? God's book. The Bible is God's book. Jesus Christ is God's Son. Salvation is by God's grace through faith. If you just hang on to those, if you jot those down in the fly leaf of your Bible, those 10 little statements that we're going to study those over Sunday nights, those 7 words or less, 7 words or less, there may come a day someone will say to you, well, what do you believe? You might not remember all this accuracy and inspiration and preservation. You might remember all that. And guess what? They won't care about all that. If you tell them those 7 words or less, and you give that to them, that'll be something they can get a hold of. And they're going to say, wow, she knows what she believes. I don't. Greatest thing in all the world to know is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's all you have to know to go to heaven. That's all you have to know. But in order to be a servant of Jesus Christ, in order to be a soldier of the King, we better know a whole lot more. Now, Brother Jeff, you've served as a police officer. Brother Mike, you've served as a police officer. Brother John, you've served as a police officer. There's a lot of things that you need to know. You may not use them, but once or twice in your whole life. Dr. Twilliger, you had to go to medical school, and you had to know a lot of things. Some of those things you might not ever use. Some of those things you may have never used up to this point. You might use it next week, though. I have to dust off that knowledge a little bit. It's been a while since I thought about that, but I remember it. I studied that. As a Christian, you'll study your whole life, perhaps for one moment in time, when someone's soul hangs in the balance. And you're prepared. And you're ready. Why? Because you studied to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you sanctify the Lord Jesus in your heart. And you're ready always to give an answer to every man that asks if you reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So it's time to train. It's time to train. The Bible is God's book. Jesus Christ is God's Son. Let's stand together, please. We'll continue on with that next study next week. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, someone might think tonight, wow, I just wanted a real pretty message for the Mark. You're meaning that I have to study and I have to learn and prepare and all that kind of thing? Absolutely you do. Absolutely. Know where you stand. If you don't, you can be shoved around by every wind of doctrine. We're not to be tossed to and fro. We're to anchor onto the rock of ages. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, there might be some folks here that want to commit anew and afresh to studying God's holy word. Not just reading a devotional from time to time. Not just coming to church because that's what we do. But Lord, I want to hear from you. If that would be your prayer, commit to God right here and now. Lord, revive my heart. Revive me and help me to dig into your word and to hear your voice. That strengthens your fellowship. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'll bless. Lord, there might be some folks here that don't know you and the pardon and the forgiveness of sin. And Lord, the truth of the gospel is still true today. You will forgive the most wicked sinner. You will save the most saintly. Person that's walked the earth. They still need a Savior. I ask you now that you would speak to our hearts. As Christians, may we humble ourselves. May we hear your call. There might be someone here, Lord, that would want to just come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I have not shown up for class. I've shown up for work. I've shown up for family time. I've shown up for other things and hobbies. But I'm not showing up when the Holy Spirit wanted to speak to me. I want to renew that decision to spend time with you. Lord, it might be some that would just come and make a commitment to you tonight. I pray that you would help us to hear your call and obey your voice. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as the music plays. If God spoke to your heart tonight, perhaps you need that revived walk with the Lord. You need to, your study with the Word of God becomes stale. It's been something that you just do at church. It's not been vibrant and real. If God would move upon your heart, maybe you just want to come and say, Lord, I hear your voice. I need that vibrancy back in my life. That's what the victory that I'm missing. That's why it's not there. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary. Come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you that it's as relevant today as it was the day it was written. Lord, I pray that we would feast on it, meditate upon it, memorize it and hide it in our hearts and use it for thy glory. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Look up this way. I want to remind you that Dale and Anna Trescott, congratulations on 60 glorious years. And we rejoice with you, Brother Dale. You've been through an awful lot with your treatments and all of that. I'm going to ask them to go on back and go ahead and get in place back there. And so glad to have you all here. And we invite as many as can to stick around and come and fellowship and congratulate them, get some punch, some cake, and that kind of thing. And Fran Pouch, God bless your heart. So good to see you. Good to have you here tonight and surrounded by family and all of that. We're praying for you and we love you. And it's good to see you tonight. So glad you made it. And we've been lifting you up to the Lord. God bless you. Well, folks, fellowship one with another. And those in Voices of Victory, I tell you what, let's do. Is there room? Is the room set up back there? Does anyone know with the dividers still from the choir room?
I think the front is preserved.
Yes. Front is preserved. Okay. All right. We'll still go. We'll still meet you back in there for the auditions. God bless you, folks. Good to have you tonight. Fellowship one with one another as you leave.